There's a lot going on as of late. COVID's downward curve. Dr. Bonnie's cautious step forward. We've got a new police chief in town, a new pier plan, a ferry project on the way, a bunch of jobs, Cottonwood's conserved forest, and of course there's the upcoming City of Nelson by-election. It has been too long since we've checked in with the main man at Nelson City Hall, and there's lots to catch up on. Mayor John Dooley has found 10 minutes this morning in his schedule to give us the play-by-play on an awful lot. Good morning, Mayor Dooley.
Good morning, Darren and Rob. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. We sure appreciate the time. I guess we should jump right into the big news. The lockdown is loosening. What are municipal leaders being told by the province's health experts and Premier Horgan's office about where we're at?
Well, we're getting pretty well the same information that you are. Though each week we have a call with Interior Health to give us an update on the rollout of the vaccine, and that seems to be going very well. But, of course, there's some lifting of restrictions, but having said that, there's no change in the protocols around wearing a mask and washing your hands and keeping social distance. That has to continue. We're in the final throes of trying to get the upper hand on COVID-19, and if we don't continue to use the same protocols, we just simply won't get there in the short term. It'll take a lot longer than we anticipate. But I'm feeling really confident about the rollout of the vaccine in our region, and I think people are going to see and start hearing from people that are getting the vaccine on a regular basis now going forward. So that'll lift people's spirits, for sure.
For sure, for sure. There does seem to be an air of optimism. I wanted to ask you about the vaccine. You know, media watchdogs are looking pretty closely at how the federal and provincial governments are dealing with this. In your opinion, is BC and is Ottawa doing the best it could be doing?
Well, I really can't speak for what's happening in Ottawa. I mean, clearly from the news, but you can't always go by that.
Yeah.
So there has been some bumps in the road, but, you know, that was to be expected. I mean, this is the fastest rollout of a vaccine ever, and, you know, that was to be expected, that there'd be some ups and downs. But I can tell you right now the work that the province has done, Minister Dickens, the Minister of Municipal Affairs, Interior Health, in connecting with us as elected officials and local communities throughout the province has been absolutely outstanding. They've kept us informed, they've kept us in the loop, and they're not hiding anything behind their backs. They've been very forthcoming with every question we put forward to them, and I'm confident that British Columbia is going to be one of the leaders in Canada in rolling out this vaccination.
That is excellent news. Excellent news. You're talking about some of the folks on the all-important front lines, and speaking of which, RCMP Superintendent Donovan Fisher is no longer RCMP Superintendent. We got a brand new police chief. Before we talk about him, how many people applied for that job? There's got to be a lot of folks in that line of work from around Canada that know how beautiful Nelson is.
Yeah, we had a long list of people that applied for the job, and of course, you know, through the process, we narrow it down to a handful of people, and Donovan was the man that rose to the surface at the end of the day, and we're very happy with him. He's an excellent person, and we're looking forward to working with him as our police chief for many years to come.
So what did set Superintendent Donovan Fisher apart from the other candidates? How did you arrive at that decision?
Well, he has a lot of experience in policing in at different levels, actually. You know, he worked in the full, what I would call, gamut of policing with the RCMP, from community all the way up to major crime, etc. And he has a real strong background in community relations and reaching out to minority groups, etc. And that, you know, that was definitely one of many factors that helped him stand out for us. So we're really looking forward to working with him. And the other thing that many people in our area are not aware of, we have an integrated operation with the RCMP, with the Integrated Road Service. And, you know, Donovan's connections in the RCMP will build on that platform. And we know that policing can't be done by the municipality alone. And the relationship that we have with our RCMP partners has been a real successful relationship. And we want to continue that. And Donovan can help in that area as well as at the municipal level.
I don't know if you saw the questions ahead of time, Mayor Dooley, but can you pick three words off the top of your head that best describe outgoing Chief Paul Burkhardt?
Well, you know, that's a tough one, you know, when you ask me three words. But I've been sort of racking my little tiny brain here since you wrote to me about that. And the three words that would come to my mind would be community police officer. And Paul was outstanding at doing outreach in our community, connecting. He chaired the, you know, he chaired the fentanyl task force and led the committee on finding homes for the most vulnerable people in our community when COVID first struck. And, you know, he's been outstanding. I've had the pleasure of working with Paul now for a couple of years, and with him prior to me, being out of City Hall, he was also part of our force, and he's just a good person. Gives back to his community and cares deeply about the health and safety of everybody in Nelson.
He's a great guy. He's sure been gracious with his time with us here on the show, especially back when things were really quite frightening. Yourself as well, quite frightening when the pandemic was first starting. But we'll miss him.
Yeah.
On to a couple of other issues. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Nelson Mayor John Dooley about a whole bunch of stuff. There's lots going on. The federal government and province are doling out unprecedented amounts of funding. Mayor Dooley, how much is there in the coffers for the brand new pier at the end of Hall Street, and when will construction on that project start?
Yeah, well, that's going to be a significant project for our community. It's a historical site that we believe has a lot of significance for our community, and also can be a real driving force in pulling people from, you know, to the waterfront and from the waterfront to Baker. That's the Stores to Shores plan that we had for Hall Street. That's the final piece of the puzzle, getting that the lower end finished up. So we have we already had money in our budget to upgrade the pier, but not to the extent that we're talking about today. We had about $500,000 set aside for redecking the pier and refencing it, et cetera. But once we put our heads together, we realized that there were more opportunities for the use of that particular place and how it could stand out as another, you know, cornerstone in our community. So we went out and applied for some grants for the pier and the Ladybird that has been restored. And it's a historical piece that we have as well that's under the guidance of our museum art gallery. And we got $500,000 from the Columbia Basin Trust, and we got $1 million from the government, senior levels of government. Mm-hmm. And put that together with the $500,000 that we have of our own, we got about $2 million for that project. And we started the detailed design work now, and we'll be looking for how we can move that forward. We've been working very closely with the local sawmills and to see if there's a way we can fit them into that plan, as well as spearhead and drop design. We wanted to feature local businesses, what they have to offer, and local contractors, how they can help us deliver that project. So it's something that is going to be, I think, I really believe when it's finished, the community's going to be very proud of that.
Yeah, some of the artist renderings that Drop has floated out there are really cool. It looks like it will be a fantastic capstone on the end of the Stores to Shores project. And
Matthew Stanley and his team is working on that, and he's got a group of really visionary people that have worked really hard to try and come up with designs and ideas. So we're excited about it.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have the Ladybird there too. Did you ever take the Ladybird for a spin back in your younger days?
No, I didn't have to back that far.
Speaking of big boats, onto the ferry project.
I like the pontoon boat where you can just lay back and have a pop and enjoy the scenery. Ladybird a little too fast for me. Spill your beer.
Spill your beer, that's right. Onto the ferry project. Folks who remember the Osprey construction job in the early 2000s will recall it was a very impressive undertaking. When will the new ferry's construction start and finish, and how many jobs roughly are we looking at being created with that one?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're actually working on some of the site work right now as we speak.
Right.
So it's going to take about 2 years for completion of the project. It'll have, at times it'll be up to 60 people at a time working on it. It'll be, it's going to, be a terrific project. There'll be an area there for people to watch it as it goes forward. You know, watch the construction from the pathway that the builder is going to construct the pathway, divert it around so people, and put a sort of viewing platform up there as well. So it's going to be an exciting project for our community. And it'll create a lot of economic, activity in our community. They're going to buy a lot of materials and products and food and accommodation and hire as many local contractors as possible to be part of that for the civil work, suppliers, welders, and fabricators, and electricians, and so on. So I've spoken directly with the owner of the company, and they're very much committed to putting as much of that money back into Nelson as they possibly can.
John, you applauded, like everyone in town, you applauded the successful effort to save 60-plus hectares of forest that was slated for logging around Cottonwood Lake, but there's another 600 that will still be logged. Was there an alternative approach to that project that might have seen more forest save and perhaps had more economic value added as well?
You know, everybody does what they think is best at the time, you know, and I have to applaud the group that got together and pushed that forward and you know, met their end goal of at least getting a portion of that that area that they can now work, go forward and be stewards of. And I think the key is what do we do from here on in as far as looking after that land and you know, the easy part is buying it now. What's the next step? So I actually happen to think, and I felt all along, and I did put it out there, that there was an alternative to that, to be able to save that complete parcel of land and use it as a potentially as a community forest and work with one of our, or two or maybe three of our local sawmills here to make that happen. So, I mean, maybe that's an option for the next piece if people want to look at that. But, you know, it's not a short-term fix. When you're working, and I had the pleasure of working for 4 years in with the local companies around here, and I learned a lot about the forest sector. And in my life, I have learned a fair bit about how trees grow myself. And it's not a short cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long game, and mm-hmm. I think people need to take a long vision when they buy pieces of land like that. What are they going to do with it? How are they going to manage it going forward? Are they going to replant it or just sort of ignore it and let it do its own thing? But eventually, something's going to have to happen to it. And those trees are, that forest is mature. You know, harvesting, how you harvest it, of course, is critically important. But harvesting is one of the pieces of managing a forest. And we all know the challenges that we're all facing now around the potential for wildfire in and around our community. And the more we manage those forests around our community, whether they be public lands or private lands, is critically important. And I hope that the society that purchased that land and is looking at the next piece take into account the value that's there, not only from, you know, ecological side, but also financially, can help them support that forest and grow it back, that in 70 years from now it can be reharvested and put more money into their coffers and help them, you know, maintain and sustain that forest for a long time to come.
So
to just purchase it and walk away from it is not a good scenario.
So the suggestion could be, of course, hindsight's 20/20, but there are, again, 600 hectares left that will be logged. And folks, it's a tough reality, but they are going to begin logging quite soon at the top of that slope up above Apex. And the plans are to come right down the slope. It's going to be quite a sight. So the suggestion may have been to manage the forest, reduce wildfire concerns, and then we would have an ongoing economic legacy that would create jobs and generate more income for for decades to come. Could have been the way
exactly.
They go about it.
Similar to a community forest, like the Herb Proctor Community Forest.
Right.
I mean, that's the direction I would have thought would have worked. But having said that, I was not on the board. You know, I applaud the people that stepped up and did what they could. But I do think there was an option, and there may be still be an option there, to manage that whole sector as a community forest, and everybody would gain. You know, the sawmills would get their wood, the community would get the visual impact that they desire, mm-hmm. and we would reduce the potential risk of wildfire in that corridor.
Interesting.
John, your thoughts on the upcoming city council by-election? You've got an empty seat at the table, and it's a big one. It's the outgoing councilor, Brittany Anderson, who's now the MLA. What can you tell us about the contributions that Brittany made and what you expect from her replacement?
Well, first of all, I have to tell you, Brittany's been fantastic since being re-elected. Well, she was great on council, don't get me wrong, but since she's been elected as an MLA, she's been wonderful.
Great.
I've talked to Brittany a number of times. She's reached out a number of times. She's helped us on a number of issues, and I can tell you right now, she continues the kind of outreach that she's doing with not only with our community but the surrounding area that she's responsible for. She will be an MLA for a long time to come. yeah, we have another seat to fill on council, and you know, everybody, like anybody that sits on council today, you put your name forward, and you have to applaud anybody that puts their name forward to sit on city council. It takes a big effort from people, more so today than ever before. You're really under a microscope from what you're doing, and there's a lot of people have more and more ways of connecting with you or applauding you or criticizing you on Facebook or any of the other social media platforms that are out there, and reaching you by email and on your phone. So it's not an easy task being a city council member nowadays, anybody that puts their name forward, I'm saying good for you. But there's a big learning curve when you're new to council. It takes a while, and I'm sure if you spoke to some of our current councillors that are on there, it takes a couple of years to get your feet on the ground and to get to understand how things work. Understanding the community, living in the community, and knowing, you know, the streets and the back roads and the alleys and the power poles and the water mains that are in our community, that's critically important if you're a municipal councillor. You know, you need to have that connection to what's going on in the city. Doing your homework, preparing yourself, understanding that at the end of the day, there's not that much you're responsible for. You know, the taxpayer is giving you money for a handful of things, you know, and you know, the handful of things is very much meat and potatoes, and there's a little bit left over for a few odds and ends. But if your sewer is not working and flowing downhill, you've got a problem. If your water's not turning on in the mornings, and your roads and sidewalks are not in good shape, and you're managing your hydro and your police force and the fire department, you know, all the basics of running a municipality are what you're there for. And once you get beyond that, you got to be careful that you're not giving too much time and effort to subjects and projects that are outside of that portfolio, because you can leave those things behind. And we found in our case, the infrastructure rebuild that we've done over the last 15 years, that was a prime example of an area that was neglected in our community for quite some time. And you have to be focused on the core services.
Well, we'll see what happens on March 27th. Mayor Dooley, we always appreciate your time. That was a terrific wrap-up of a whole heap of news.
Yeah.
But we will we won't let as much time pass next time and get back to you sooner. Have yourself a great weekend, and thanks a lot for the time, Mayor Dooley.
Give me a shout anytime. Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Take care.
Thanks, John.
You betcha. That's Mayor John Dooley with a rapid fire overview on a lot of big issues. Don't forget the city council by-election between Brenton Raby, Josh Wapp, and Josh Wapp, it's Wapp, and Nicole Charlwood is Saturday, March 27th.